Hey, it's Ron from the Commander's Brew. Welcome back to another episode. This is a fun one. We're going to do a party deck. The Michelangelo of the Ninja Turtles. The party dude, the party deck. Everyone's welcome to this party, though. Everyone, especially you, dear listener. Thank you so much for listening and joining us on this party and all the parties. I truly do appreciate it. As usual, if you are a dedicated listener, already appreciate that. But if you're like, I want to go above and beyond, you can. You could go to patreon.com/commandersbrew, find out how to donate there. That's the kind of most effective way to help the podcast. But there's lots of other ways too. You can like and subscribe on YouTube, tell a friend, do something nice in your review section of your podcast app. If you're planning on buying cards anyway, use that TCG player link. Anything you get through there gives us a little slice. But if you're in Canada, I do have the greatest deal for you that is actual money off your Magic singles if you shop at the Wizard's Tower. Here's an ad. Commander's Brew is proudly Canadian and proud to be sponsored by one of Canada's premier card stores, the Wizard's Tower, wizardtower.com. Our Canadian listeners get an exclusive coupon code, BREWBALDERS, to get 5% off your singles with any order of $20 or more. Check out the decklist for this week's episode, past episodes, and all sorts of Magic-related content at wizardtower.com. I happen to be an experienced D&Der. I can spin a D4 like a top. I got a bit of an announcement to make. I don't have any official details yet, so it's kind of a half announcement. So it's kind of an announcement to the announcement. But I'm going to stream a live show in early July. So once the details are ironed out, you can be sure I will tell you about it. Okay, so the episode you're about to listen to will feature a party deck, so you can probably already guess some of the things that are going on. But as usual, I try to present things in a bit of an exploration. I really do like the philosophy of kind of showing the process and kind of letting you in on that aspect of things. I do think it's a little bit more interesting than just listing you a bunch of cards that work nicely together. I think you can probably figure most of that out yourself. But the theme of this pre-deck tech chat is figuring things out yourself. And you can probably guess some of the cards that are in this party deck. And I do hope to kind of illustrate a few new angles to take. Another thing I like to bring to you is just some inspiration to brew decks. So speaking of being able to predict what it has to offer, I have to admit I was looking, you know, the internet. It wants you to read things that you may or may not want to read. And I somehow stumbled across, goodness, I'm trying to think now. I don't even remember how this came in front of me because I don't typically see recipe websites on the internet. I'm not usually see ads for those things, but I was drawn in because the title of the article was how to make no bake two ingredient banana chocolate cake. So there's two, there's two ingredients in the title and they call it two ingredient cake. So like, let me guess, banana and chocolate. And sure enough, I was intrigued. So I think that's kind of the philosophy here. It's like, even if you think you know what the deck is, I still hope to bring you something a little bit more interesting. Or perhaps maybe you want to see just how I made it happen or how it goes together. Of course, with the help of those in the Discord, we usually have a weekly brew sesh where we just kind of brainstorm the deck and some ideas. I'll throw out some ideas of what I'm looking for, what I'm hoping to do. And some people in the Discord will kind of throw out, oh, here's some cool cards for that. Have you thought of this angle? That sort of thing. So let me get to this. I'll spare you the details, or rather I'll let you in on the details. I'll spare you from having to look it up yourself. No bake banana chocolate cake is basically 2-to-1 chocolate to banana. That's it. Mush up a bunch of banana, melt some chocolate chips, 2-to-1. So double the chocolate for the bananas, and then just kind of mash it together and put it in the fridge. Ridiculous. Can you call it cake? I don't think so. I don't know this is cake. I don't bring this up to get into a discussion about what counts as a cake, which I feel is connected. You know, everything is cake, but also everything is a sandwich. So, I mean, there's a conflict there. That is a good question. If everything is cake, but everything is either a sandwich or a taco, how do you reconcile that? Anyway, not important. What is important is that sometimes you got some expectations, and I mean, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I thought it was a funny recipe. And I think this is a fun deck with some funny stuff at the end. So hope you like it. Anyway, let's get to that deck tech.
Okay, let's get to this deck tech. The commander is Nalia D'Arnis. This is a commander that came in the new precons that was out with the Baldur's Gate set. That's, yeah, there's precons for the set too. It's wild. So much commander content. So, 3-mana commander, 1BW, legendary human rogue, 3/3. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. Great. You may cast cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard spells from the top of your library. Also great. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control, and those creatures gain death touch until end of turn. Fantastic. So, obviously, this is the party deck. That's why this episode is called the party deck. We want a full party, and we want to get those counters going as soon as possible. Looking at the precon for kind of cards that do that, there aren't a ton of new cards that actually reference having a full party, but there are a few. There's tons of great reprints of the various classes, just things that are very useful here, but I'm going to go over the cards that are actual full party payoffs. Multiclass Baldric is a fantastic piece of equipment. It's a single mana to cast and 2 to equip. It's got a laundry list of what it does depending on what your class is. If the equipped creature is a cleric, it has lifelink. If it's a rogue, death touch. If it's a warrior, haste. And if it's a wizard, it has flying. And as long as you have a full party, you prevent all damage that will be dealt to equipped creature. So we get to choose which one it goes on. As I said, Nalia is a rogue. So if we put it on Nalia with a full party, we will have death touch and prevent all damage. Now, that's what her ability does anyway. It gives everyone death touch. So that's a little bit redundant in a full party with her at the helm. But this is a fantastic piece of equipment. Does a lot. Stick Together is a sorcery for 5 mana. That's 3WW. Each player chooses a party from among creatures they control and sacrifice the rest. So it's a bit of a sort of one-sided board wipe. There's a very good chance our opponents have like a wizard or a rogue or something like that. So it won't be a full wipe, but I think we will be able to keep our 4 key creatures and everyone else loses a bunch. It's worth thinking about. And Burakos, party leader. This is an orc, but in the text, it says also a cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard. Counts as all the types. That's fantastic. So no matter what we're missing, Burakos will count for that. Burakos is 3 and a black. This is a 2/4. And whenever Burakos attacks, defending player loses X life, and you create X treasure tokens, where X is the number of creatures in your party, hopefully 4. You get to choose a background too, but we're not going to be doing that because we're not into the background business. Now, as I said, we want to get to a full party and we want to get there quick. And the worst part about trying to hit something like this is if you remember in like, I don't know if you ever remember in math class when you do like probability stuff, it's like, what are the probability? How many socks do you need to pull out of a drawer until you get 2 that definitely match? I know that's not exactly the same problem, but it's the same kind of thought process behind it. If you have an even split of like all the colors of socks, or in this case, an even split of all the party members, then you have to kind of get like to guarantee it, you have to get a ton of socks. So I want to did that make any sense? I feel like that didn't make much sense. Anyway, let's say we put in like 10 of each type of class, but if we get 20 creatures, I mean, how often do you have 20 creatures up? But if we draw 20 creatures, it's possible we just haven't drawn a cleric yet. So we just never get to that full party. We want to make sure that we get to full party as fast as possible because of Nalia's ability. Now, if we come up a bit short, that doesn't actually affect tons of cards in the set. I did mention multi-class Baldric. It gives whatever ability to whatever creature. So having a full party does make it indestructible, or sorry, prevent all damage that will be dealt to it. But still, I mean, you know, if I get a little bit short on that, I've still got some cool abilities. That's fine. Archpriest of Iona is a card where that does matter. This is a cleric for white, and it's a star 2. Power equal to the number of creatures in your party. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, target creature gets +1/+1 and flying until end of turn. It's cheap and it gives something evasion and it makes it bigger. So is Nalia D'Arnis. So this is going to be a great card. We definitely want full party here, but if we don't, it's a 1-mana cleric. Squad Commander, this is a big one. 3 and a white, 3/3 core warrior. It's a warrior. And when it enters, create a white 1/1 core warrior creature token for each creature in your party. So maximum 4. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, your creatures get +1/+0 indestructible till end of turn. This is the number one party payoff, in my opinion, I think. Again, you know, if we come up a little bit short, we make some tokens or we just save this until we're here. That's okay. And finally, the last full party real payoff is coveted prize. It's the 5-mana sorcery that costs one less for each party member. So potentially a single black, tutor up a card. And then if you have a full party, you can cast a spell with converted mana cost 4 or less from your hand without paying for it. So potentially, this is a very powerful card with full party. But if we're short by a couple, it just becomes regular demonic tutor. I think that's fine. So I'm not going to repeat myself a billion times, but we want full party because Nalia D'Arnyce is the card that matters the most. That's the creature that we will always have access to. She's in the command zone and we'll get those +1/+1 counters. So speaking of which, let's run a bunch of changelings. Changelings are a great way to get extra hits. Changelings count as wizards, warriors, clerics, and rogues. So no matter what we're missing, a changeling will make up for it. And since we want to put +1/+1 counters on the team, something like Changeling Outcast, it's a single black changeling, can't be blocked and can't block. This thing's going to grow and it's going to hit every time. Skeletal Changeling, one and a black for a 1/1, and you can pay one and a black to regenerate Skeletal Changeling. This is going to be great because don't forget, Nalia also gives everybody Death Touch, so they can't really chump this thing. We'll just pay the 2, we'll regenerate it, and your thing will definitely die. I mean, I guess that's not the definition of a chump. A chump means they blocked it with something tiny. But this thing's going to grow, and they will have to deal with it somehow. Of course, there's an enchantment that came with the new set, Black Market Connections. It's a great enchantment. Right now, it's like $20, and I think it's going to keep going up because it's great. It isn't black, so these are effects black can already do, unlike the problem white cards have, where if it says draw, that's such a meager offering that the card becomes super valuable. Anyway, Black Market Connections, 2 and a black, enchantment. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, choose one or more. You can create a treasure token and lose a life. You can draw a card and lose 2 life. Or you can create a 3/2 colorless shapeshifter creature token with changeling and lose creature type. Sorry, and lose 3 life. You can't lose creature type. I read ahead to the flavor text. It has every creature type. So yeah, we can make a changeling with this. We can just, you know, at worst, we create a treasure token and lose a life. That's some good ramp. And another card that comes in the precon that is fantastic is Maskwood Nexus. It's a 4-mana artifact. All your creatures are every creature type. It's true for creatures you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield. That's especially interesting because Nalia lets us cast the special party types from the top of our library. So Maskwood Nexus would be a way to build a Nalia deck without any actual wizards, warriors, and clerics in it if you wanted to get super cheeky that way. I do. I like getting super cheeky, but not that cheeky for this particular episode. And you can also pay 3 to create a 2/2 blue shapeshifter creature token with changeling. It has every type. Such a fantastic card. It was pushing, you know, actually, it wasn't that expensive. I thought it was going to get more expensive. It's just so good. So talking about changelings, there are 18 actual creatures that count as a full party if you also count Stonework Pack Beast and Burakos. So Stonework Pack Beast is another thing that's a 2-mana 2/1 that just counts as all the types. Cleric, Rogue, Warrior, and Wizard. So there we go. We got a lot of changelings going. We should be able to hit our party by hitting one of those. Whatever we're missing, if we got a cleric and a rogue, let's say, the changeling's one, another changeling another, we should get there pretty easily. But we can also get there even easier. As I mentioned before, there aren't a ton of actual full party payoffs. So the most important one is our commander. That's what we're building around. That's what we always have access to. So if our commander is our most important party payoff, that means our commander is on the battlefield to be the payoff. So that means rogue is always checked off. I think we can brew a deck with no actual rogues in it, except for the changelings. You know what I mean? So since we're doing a deck that wants to hit hard, it wants to go kind of fast, I'm going to look at some of the cheaper in the classes of wizards, warriors, and clerics. And yes, of course, if there's an incredible rogue that's great just for what the deck is doing, we can certainly add that. But as the experiment, I want to see if this is possible. So looking at cheap wizards, ones that like to kind of hit or just fuel the deck in a certain way, we've got Undead Augur first. It's black for a zombie wizard, 2/2. Whenever this or another zombie dies that you control, draw a card and lose a life. So we don't have a ton of zombies, but if we have a lot of changelings, then we actually do have a lot of zombies. And Maskwood Nexus also does that sort of thing. Everything would count as a zombie that way. Jadar, Ghoul Caller of Nephalia. This is a 2-mana human wizard, 1/1, but at the beginning of your end step, if you don't control any decayed creatures, you make a 2/2 black zombie creature token with decayed. Also good with Undead Augur. But there's two bodies now that we get to put +1/+1 counters on. The decayed thing dies every turn, but if it has Death Touch, your opponents have to do something about it. You either chump it, take 3, or lose something good. And Grim Haruspex is a 3-mana human wizard, 3/2. It's got morph for a single black, but are we going to morph this? Probably not. Whenever another non-token creature you control dies, draw a card. There we go. This is part of our draw engine from the cheap wizards. But the things that are going to hit the hardest are probably going to be the warriors. And cheap among those is the Bloodchin Rager, 1 and a black for a human warrior, 2/2. When it attacks, each warrior creature you control can't be blocked this turn except by 2 or more creatures. Menace, basically. It doesn't actually... it does say gain menace. Oh, yeah, I'm reading the really old text. They hadn't made menace a normal thing by Dragons of Tarkir time. Anyway, if we have a lot of changelings, right? Like, this thing gets even better because now they all count as warriors. Maskwood Nexus, MVP. Twinblade Geist is 1 and a white for a double-striking 1/1 Spirit Warrior. This is from the Innistrad Crimson Vow set, so it's got Disturb. You can cast it from the graveyard as an enchantment to give something else double strike, something that's growing, something that's getting a lot of counters on it. Double strike with Death Touch is, I mean, first strike with Death Touch is all you need, but double strike also has first strike. Now they just have to jump. Unless they also have first strike, we will kill them with Death Touch before they even get a chance to do their combat damage. Fantastic card. And Dragonscale General is kind of a top-end warrior as far as I'm concerned. It's 4 mana, 3 and a white for a 2/3, but at the beginning of your end step, bolster X, where X is the number of tapped creatures you control. Just as a little reminder on what bolster does, is you have to pick a creature you have with the least toughness, and you put X +1/+1 counters on it. That's could potentially a lot of counters, especially if we're giving them all indestructible via another, what was that card that does that? A squad commander, something like that. Very good card. Let's look at some cheap clerics. Selfless Spirit, 1 and a white, flying, 2/1. Spirit Cleric. Sacrifice it. Creatures get indestructible until end of turn. That's very useful if we're a combat-y deck. We want to keep our board. We want to get wide and stay wide. Timna the Weaver, 1 white-black, legendary human cleric, 2/2 with lifelink. And at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, I feel like they might invent a new word for that. Main 1 and main 2? I don't know. Post-combat main phase is a mouthful. Anyway, during that phase, you may pay X life, where X is the number of opponents that were dealt combat damage this turn. If you do, draw X cards. And I mentioned a lot of cards that are paying life altogether, so how about Soul Warden? A single white cleric, whenever another creature enters the battlefield, you gain a life. So yeah, between the changelings and all of those, I think we can mostly manage to ignore rogues altogether and ensure that we'll have a full party with incredible odds. I'd love to be a math genius and just figure that out somehow, but I think this is pretty easy. Now, we do want to talk about our little reanimation. I mean, if we lose like a wizard and we don't have a wizard, maybe there isn't another changeling to pick up the slack. We've got to have a couple ways to get things back. And Aura, Skyclave Hierophant is pretty good. 2 black-white, core cleric, lifelink, 3/3. And whenever this or another cleric dies, return target cleric with lesser converted mana cost from your graveyard to the battlefield, straight into play. Anytime a changeling dies. And if we're looking at graveyard stuff, it's worth looking at a little skeleton warrior named Reassembling Skeleton. 1 and a black, 1/1, and then you can pay 1 and a black and return it from the graveyard to the battlefield tapped. This is going to be good for things that look for non-token creatures dying, or something like Priest of Forgotten Gods. This is a 1 and a black human cleric, 1/2, tapped to sacrifice 2 other creatures, including that skeleton, and any number of target players each lose 2 life and sack a creature, and you add black-black and draw a card. And quite simply, a thing to get a thing back from the graveyard is a Graveshifter. 3 and a black, Shapeshifter, 2/2. When it enters, return a creature from your graveyard to your hand. Now this is a Shapeshifter, so it's a changeling. Now, there's a lot of changelings in this deck, so I just want to remind you of that other episode I did a while back about non-tribal tribal. You could kind of go that way with this deck. With Nalia Dearnese, you could run all changelings and things that just care about full party and that sort of thing. I think it's worth considering. Anyway, here's something else I discovered looking through on these. This could be a Stax deck. There's a lot of cheap creatures. I mean, most of them tend to be white. And I do want to say cheap by mana, but they fall under the party classes. You know, maybe a rogue is going to slip in here. I haven't analyzed that, but like we could definitely be a mean Staxi deck. Elite Spellbinder. This is the Strixhaven 3-1 with flying. It costs 2 and a white, and when it enters, you look at an opponent's hand, exile a card from it, and they have to pay 2 more to cast it. Drannith Magistrate is one of the worst Staxi cards for Commander. It's 1 and a white, human wizard, 1-3. Opponents can't cast spells from anywhere other than their hands. That's the command zone. Nobody gets cards from the command zone anymore. Oof. Containment Priest, 1 and a white, human cleric, 2-2 with flash. If a non-token creature would enter and it wasn't cast, exile it instead. This doesn't come up all the time, but if players want to cheat, this will make you not cheat. Oh, is there a green player at the table? How about a bird wizard called Avend Mind Sensor? 2 and a white with flash and flying, 2-1. If an opponent would search a library, they search the top 4 cards instead. Ooh, green cards hate to see Avend Mind Sensor. Green decks, I mean. And green cards are in green decks, so it's kind of the same thing. How about a cat cleric? Alms Collector, 3 and a white, flash, 3-4. If an opponent would draw 2 or more cards, instead, you and that player each draw 1 card. Cut their draw down to 1 and you get a card for it. Ooh, nice cleric. Leonin Arbiter, 1 and a white. I mean, here's something for green players. Players can't search libraries, and any player can pay 2 colorless to ignore that effect until end of turn. So you have to pay to search up lands. Sorry, green decks. You know, even if we want to put it, this is a bit more of an expensive card, but Spelltithe Enforcer is a wizard. It's 3 white, elephant wizard, 3-3. And when an opponent plays a spell, whenever they cast a spell, they sacrifice a permanent unless they pay 1. It's not just like, it's like Rhystic Study, but instead of drawing cards, like they have to sack something. So you still have to say, do you want to pay the 1? But in this time, if they decline, they have to sack a permanent. I mean, it's less evil, but it's expensive in real life money. Mangara the Diplomat, 3 and a white, human cleric, lifelink. If an opponent casts their second spell in a turn, you get to draw a card. If an opponent attacks with 2 or more creatures, you draw a card. And then something like Strict Proctor. It depends on how we put the deck together, but this is a 2-mana 1-3 spirit cleric with flying. And whenever a permanent enters the battlefield and it causes a triggered ability to go off, counter it unless its controller pays 2. This could hose us a little bit too, but it will certainly hose other decks. I mean, is this a Stax deck? Do we need to brew a Stax deck with Nalia? No, I can't. This is a party deck. Stax is the opposite of a party, right? Yes. No, I'm right. We're here to party. We don't want to do Stax, so we need drinks. Every good party needs drinks. And to have a bunch of drinks, you probably need a bar. So, some bars for the deck. Bomat Bazaar Barge. This is that 4-mana vehicle. When it enters, you draw a card. Cruise for 3. It's a 5-5. You need another bar. How about the Citizen's Crow Bar? Right? It's where not only crows can drink there. Like, anyone can have a drink at this bar. How about a Strip Bear? If you take off the E of Strip Bear, you get a different kind of bar that is not for children. And every bar needs a bartender, so I think the bartender would be Yomiji, who bars the way. 5 white, legendary human spirit, 4-4. Whenever a legendary permanent other than this one is put into a graveyard from play, return it to its owner's hand. We have a few, so maybe. And if you want your party guests to get a few drinks on them immediately when they step in, as in as soon as they come into the room, you want to put a bar at the door. Bar the door. 2 and a white. Instant creatures you control get +0/+4 until end of turn. I don't know that I read what Strip Bear does. It's a destroy all auras and equipment attached to target creature. It's the intersection between gothy basement parties and outdoor backyard soirees. What do those two things have in common? Candles. We're running Blood Tallow Candle and the Candles of Leng. And if we have a guest that we don't like very much, Candle Trap. We will trap them in a candle. I'm not going to read these cards. They're bad cards. These are the joke cards, right? This is sort of the joke part of the deck. Anyway, jokes aside, I think that there's another important aspect to a party, and that's the food, the snacks, if you will. And I think I've got a little tie in here to help us remember a really tricky rules situation. Earlier, I hinted that I'm going to get into some rulesy stuff for you. Well, this is it. What's the most complicated thing for Magic players to learn and understand? What judges moan about all the time? It's the layer system. Remembering the order of layers and remembering how that works. Well, every good party also needs food, and the number one type of food to make any party pop is a 7-layer dip. 7-layer dip, and there just so happens to be 7 main layer types in the rules of Magic. What a perfect mnemonic. And I have laid it all out for you, so you will never again be confused about what layer is what. Just remember your 7-layer dip and what it refers to. The top layer, copy effects. Well, C for copy, C for can of refried beans. Copy, can. The next layer down is control changing effects. Well, that's another C, so we've got another C. The cream that is sour. Sour cream. Control changing cream. Now, the next layer is text changing effects. Well, text changing Tex-Mex fruit-based spread. Guacamole. Next layer down, type changing effects. And when I think of types in a 7-layer dip, what condiment has 2 main types, green and red? Salsa. Type changing effects is salsa. The next layer down in any good 7-layer dip is cheese. Cheese comes in a lot of varieties like white cheddar or blue cheese. Why those are different colors? Yes, it's color changing effects. The next layer is color changing effects. Then this is just the words that sound the same, green onions, and granting, as in ability granting or ability removing effects. The next layer, green onions, ability granting or removing effects. And the 7th layer is jalapenos. And you know you gotta be tough to eat jalapenos, power and toughness changing effects. So there you have it, an easy mnemonic. Just you, we all know our 7-layer dip layer order that'll help us remember the layers of Magic in the rules. Can of refried beans, copy effects, cream that is sour, control changing, Tex-Mex fruit-based spread guacamole, text changing effects, red and green types of salsa, type changing effects, color changing effects is cheese, which comes in white cheddar or blue cheese, different colors, granting green onions, ability granting effects, and toughness and power changing effects. Tough to eat jalapenos. You're welcome. You're never going to forget this. Now that you've heard this once, you will never forget this for the rest of your Magic playing days. Oh, fun one. Yes, we're having some fun, having a few laughs. I do want to thank the Discord helpers, as always. I ran a little sideways with this one, but of course, thank you to Knackle Booper, Pips Don't Lie, Alex Cook, Papadio, Groove Chicken Chiefy for helping us out with this deck. Always. Could not do this without the Discord helpers. And a final thank you to you again, dear listener. Thank you for listening and keep being you. The world is a better place for it. See you next time.